The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello and welcome to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry. And I'd like to start today with a story that I am just amazed has not received much, much more attention. It's one I talked briefly about on our Friday Trumpet Hour Week in Review program, but it's one where there's a lot more to talk about here. And that is that the German intelligence agency, the BND, was caught spying on the US government. This is a huge embarrassment for the German government, and it should be a major scandal both there and in America. In 2013, news emerged that America's NSA was spying on Angela Merkel's phone, and here's just a quick reminder of some of that story in case you'd forgotten about it.
On hearing that her mobile phone may have been tapped by U.S. intelligence services, German Chancellor Angela Merkel called President Obama to demand an explanation. It came after confirmation from German security services that allegations in Der Spiegel magazine of NSA spying were plausible. Washington was quick to limit the damage.
We're talking with, I can tell you that the president assured the chancellor that the United States is not monitoring and will not monitor the communications of the chancellor. The United States greatly values our close cooperation with Germany on a broad range of shared security challenges.
However, the spokesman omitted to say whether any electronic eavesdropping had taken place in the past. The fallout over U.S. spying allegations gathered pace this week. The European Parliament voted to suspend the SWIFT data exchange agreement with the U.S. Merkel is the latest head of state to fall foul of the surveillance revelations. Both Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff and Mexican leader Peña Nieto were allegedly victims of NSA spying. Following revelations earlier this week that the U.S. was spying on French citizens' data, President Obama said he would review American intelligence gathering.
So that was a quick clip from Euronews that covers that story, but it was a huge deal at the time, and it stirred up a lot of anti-American feeling there in Germany and just really across Europe and across the whole world. Just a quote from an article that Mr. Gerald Flurry had at the time called, I think it was something like The Significance of the NSA Spying on Germany. I neglected to write down the title. But he wrote, "These revelations enraged German politicians, public and media. President Obama sent high-level officials to Germany to try and mend the relationship, but public opinion had already turned against the United States. An ARD survey of the German public conducted in July 2013 showed that their trust in the US had plummeted from 76% in November 2009 all the way down to 49%. By that November, the number of Germans who believed America as a reliable partner for Germany stood at only 35%. Meanwhile, more than 60% of Germans view Edward Snowden, the man who illegally exposed America spying on Germany, as a hero. There's fierce outrage that America, its strongest ally, spied on their leader and on Germans in such a massive way. While the US media did not cover the scandal in great detail, it created a huge splash in the German media. This whipped German public up into a frenzy, which politicians exploited." And that's exactly right. It whipped German public into a frenzy. And again, as Mr. Flurry said, it's something that certain politicians in Germany just leapt on that. And you know, they kind of had quite an anti-American agenda already, and this gave them a fantastic opportunity to take the whole country with them. But now, last Thursday, it emerged, despite all of this frenzy of emotion that the German public were in, that the German government and the German intelligence agency did exactly the same thing, spying on the United States. Just Spiegel broke, they were the ones that broke the story, and Spiegel Online, their English language service, wrote that documents that the Spiegel has been able to review show that the BND, until a few years ago, actually had considerable interest in the United States as a target of espionage. The document states that just under 4,000 search terms or selectors were directed against American targets between 1998 and 2006. It is unknown whether they continued to be used after those dates. The German intelligence agency used the selectors to surveil telephone and fax numbers, as well as email accounts belonging to American companies like Lockheed Martin, the space agency NASA, the organization Human Rights Watch, universities in several U.S. states, and military facilities like the U.S. Air Force, the Marine Corps, and the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Secret Service Agency belonging to the American Armed Forces. Connection data from far over 100 foreign embassies in Washington, from institutions like the International Monetary Fund and the Washington office in the Arab League, were also accessed by the BND's spies. So just a huge surveillance program within the United States. Many of these targets, including the White House, all of these military agencies, intelligence agencies for the different military agencies. And just for the hypocrisy from Germany alone, after making such a big deal out of America spying on Germany, I would have thought would have made this front page headlines within the United States. After all, as we just read, they was used to whip the German public into a frenzy. They used this to really launch this claim that we see more and more with the migrant crisis and with the election of Donald Trump today, of that Germany has the moral high ground. It's a lot of that all goes back to this time with the spying agency. And now it's discovered that is just built on lies. But as far as I could see, it was a fairly quick Google search, but nothing. You know, not on the front pages, but nothing. I couldn't see anything in the New York Times, nothing from, say, the LA Times, nothing from CNN, nothing from Fox News. It's certainly something that I'll look more later and see, you know, look a bit harder, see if we can find anything on any of those news sites covering it. But I was just amazed that it didn't get much, much more attention. I think there was Newsweek and the Daily Caller and one or two others, but that was about it as far as U.S. news sources go. But this is something we need to be very concerned about, everyone around the world. And to see really why, over the next little bit of this program, we'll take a bit of a deeper look at the history of Germany's intelligence agency, the BND, because when you understand that history, this subject becomes vastly more concerning. So the BND, it was first founded after the war by a man named Reinhard Gehlen. He was so instrumental in founding it that it was often just known as the Gehlen Organization in those early days, becoming officially the BND and having that name in 1956. And Reinhard Gehlen, he was a former Nazi general. He created it, and generally in putting together this post-war spy network in 1945, he drew upon people who used to work for the Abwehr, that's the secret agency of the Nazis. He drew upon people from the SS and from the Gestapo. And this is something that's well documented. You can see this from a whole variety of different news sources and history books. It's a well-known thing that he drew upon all of these ex-Nazis, even people in the SS, in the Gestapo, people who were directly involved in the Holocaust, in killing Jews. Then later, the BND, they went back and they shredded a lot of the top secret documents relating to the Nazi past of its founder, related to the past of Gehlen. And the other members of the SS and the Gestapo who were right at the foundation of that organization. They were especially keen in destroying any evidence that showed they were involved in killing Jews. This is a quote from Die Welt. So again, mainstream German news organization. In 2007, the Federal Intelligence Service destroyed about 250 personnel files. All of them were particularly sensitive documents on former Nazis. Among the destroyed files and documents have been those from people who, in the Nazi era, held significant intelligence positions, including the SS, the SD Security Service, or the Gestapo. These include BND agents active in the BND in the 60s. Among the records destroyed have also been those on persons who were war criminals employed after the Second World War in the new West German Intelligence Service. So there were war criminals there, working for this German secret service on into the 60s and as recently as 2007. So this is when we're talking about covering up this history. This is not ancient history. This is 10 years ago. They went back and they destroyed a whole load of evidence and personnel files that were going on, that were relating to the early days of the BND. Now, around the same time, you had a lot of other parts of the German government were actually delving in and publishing these records. And publishing, okay, well, this is how many were, you know, this is who worked in the finance ministry or in the foreign ministry that were ex-Nazis. And the German intelligence agency kind of saw this trend and went back and destroyed a whole bunch of those documents. Again, modern times. So this isn't an organization. At least there's the appearance, say, of some kind of repentance in those other organizations that they were publishing those files. Now, of course, if you're a regular listener to this program, you've heard things like the special interview that we did with Hans Frank, the son of the basically the person who was in charge of Poland under the Nazis, talking about how really Germany hasn't repented. A lot of those officials haven't. But at least there was some kind of appearance of we're going to publish some of these documents. The BND is just on a whole nother level compared to some of these other organizations in that they went back and destroyed them. This going back to this Welt article, it was caught talking about with Germany at the time going through a rise in anti-Semitism. There was more interest in these kind of files, and that's when they were deleting them. Again, just reading back, old comrades into the Gehlen organization, the predecessor of the BND, many of those he gathered around him were previously in the SS or the infamous Reich Security main office, used as the headquarters of the organized genocide of the Jews. And then more started to come out, despite these destroyed files, a bit more started to come out and get about how many ex-Nazis were at the foundation of the BND. This was in around 2010. This is a quote from an article that we wrote at the time. The German intelligence service, which became the BND in 1956, also hired Nazis. Last March, it admitted it hired 200 Nazi criminals. So these were criminals, not just people who happened to be members of the Nazi party, but criminals for 15 years after World War II. The Times, this is the Times of London, again, another mainstream source. Some have been involved in massacres in Poland and Russia. Others were Gestapo torturers. All found a berth in the West German intelligence service. They quoted a former head of the BND. He said, "It has always been clear that the BND had a dark past, but I would never have reckoned with such a high proportion." And again, just more proof now that this isn't just ancient history. But in 2011, there were reports in the media about the BND covering up for neo-Nazis in the present. This is just 5-6 years ago. Again, I'll just quote from, I think this was an article by Mr. Fraser. I will probably have this up on our website within the next few hours so that you can find it easily, because he wrote this, I think it was in 2011, so 5 years ago, 6 years ago, going into some of this history of this this German secret service. And this article says, intelligence files leaked to the German Bild newspaper this month in 2011 show that the German intelligence service knew where the infamous Adolf Eichmann was hiding 8 years before Israeli agents captured him and brought him to trial. So they were hiding. This was on into the 50s. They were hiding Adolf Eichmann. The German intelligence file stated that he was hiding in Argentina under the name Clement. Eichmann's address is known to the editor of the German newspaper Der Weg in Argentina, stated the file. They quoted a historian saying, "With this information, one could definitely have found Eichmann in 1952, and it would have been an insult to any secret service to claim that the information wasn't sufficient." So the German secret service on into the 1950s, the BND were hiding the location of very senior Nazis like Adolf Eichmann. Another example was Klaus Barbie, called the Butcher of Lyon. And again, in 1960, the BND recruited him as an agent in Bolivia, knowing who he was. So in 1960, 15 years after the war ended, the BND is still recruiting former Nazis. And in this case, a former Nazi that was sentenced to death in absentia for his role in World War II, and the BND is knowingly hiring him on as an agent. So this, some deep worries about the foundation. Now, coming to quotes which I about the more recent involvements. It's again from Mr. Fraser's article. Recent events in Germany revealed suspected links between Germany's secret service and police services and the nation's endemic neo-Nazi movements. A series of brutal murders of foreigners across Germany have been recently linked to neo-Nazi cells. In more than one instance, it appeared these killings were carried out with the full knowledge of the German secret service. And then it quotes from the Independent, again, another mainstream source. It has since emerged that the investigators found a pistol in the ruins of the buildings linking the gang to the murders of one Greek and eight Turkish street vendors in separate incidents across Germany, and also highly sensitive intelligence documents suggesting that gang members may have worked as secret service moles. According to information supplied to the Bild newspaper, police discovered so-called illegal intelligence service documents belonging to cell members. And Mr. Fraser wrote after this, "The reality is there is something rotten at the heart of Germany's intelligence services. The roots go deep. For senior members of Angela Merkel's government to publicly deny what has been ongoing deep-seated phenomena in Germany for decades, right-wing extremism is a dramatic demonstration that the BND and its associated police and security services never did lose their connection with the Nazi spirit of their founder, General Reinhard Gehlen. The public denial of the facts, which are on record at the Interior Minister's own office, hint at the collective mindset of his department being a little bit too closely aligned to that of Hitler's Third Reich for comfort." So you're seeing on into 2011, you know, on into more modern times, these very suspect links with the BND. But what else has the BND been up to? Well, there's another major scandal within Germany affecting the German Secret Service during the 90s, during the Yugoslav wars, where the BND was caught smuggling weapons to Croats and Bosnians. And I think they're even suspected of smuggling them to the Kosovo Liberation Army. And they took a lot of Russian weapons that used to belong to East Germany that they didn't really have much use for anymore, and they were funneling them to Croats during that war. The German public broadcaster, ARD, they had a program called Monitor, and they broadcast a couple of programs. One was on September 19th, 1996. There was another one in 1997 that exposed senior officials within the BND pretending to be neutral European Union monitors and smuggling weapons into Croats and to Bosnians under the guise of, you know, just neutral EU monitoring services. They found them even smuggling MiG-21 aircraft to the Croatian armed forces that the monitor demonstrably came from Germany and were given a complete overhaul in the former Soviet Union and delivered to Croatia via Hungary. The program stated combat helicopters, tanks. So these aren't just a few bullets. Combat helicopters, tanks, artillery. Many of the weapons that decided the outcome of the war had been delivered with the help of the BND, according to information from the American Defense Intelligence Service. This is also confirmed by internationally acknowledged military expert Paul Beaver. And again, I'm quoting from the German public broadcaster. The Intelligence Digest stated the same kind of thing. German pilots transferring or training the Croatian Air Force. And then again, this ARD program stated, without German intelligence service, the smuggling could not have been accomplished. And there was a big uproar about this in the German parliament. The reporters on this ARD program argued that there was a good case for the criminal prosecution for people at the highest levels of the BND for this. The program said that Germany was Croatia's largest arms supplier during the Balkan Wars. And this was a direct violation of German law because it is illegal under German law to export weapons to an active war zone. I'm not 100% certain that that's still the case, but it certainly was during the 1990s. So a violation of German law, and it was a violation of international law because it violated a UN arms embargo on Yugoslavia. And so, of course, it was a major scandal within Germany and within the German parliament, and there was kind of an outraged debate, but nobody was prosecuted. Not much really changed. I think a few people might have lost their jobs, but fundamentally not much changed. And then later it was revealed that around the same time, and in fact it was from 1992 to 2005, so a much longer period of time, the BND was spying on journalists during this time period, German journalists. They were trying to identify leaks about what the things were leaking to the press about what the BND was up to. Now, generally, whenever these things have come up, and they have kind of come up repeatedly, the German government has blamed the BND, just talked, basically said that the BND is acting on its own. The BND has been restructured repeatedly to try and bring it under control, and not much so far has changed. So in 2006 to about 2009, it underwent a restructuring, quote, following a series of scandals, including the involvement of agents in questionable actions in Afghanistan and spying on journalists in Germany, and bringing it under better control was a response then. And now they're looking at restructuring it again, because since then it's been involved in more scandals. It's been accused of working very closely with the NSA in spying on organizations, spying on companies all across Europe, private companies, industrial espionage even. And it's been accused of working really closely with the NSA. In fact, there are some in the intelligence community that even say that the BND knew that the NSA had tapped Angela Merkel's cell phone, that they knew about all of the spying that the NSA was doing in Germany, that they already had knowledge of that. And so again, you've got the higher up saying, well, the BND was out of control. Once again, they're washing their hands of it. Once again, they're looking at restructuring it to bring America under control. Another aspect of the recent history of the BND that Mr. Fraser brought out in that article that he wrote a few years ago, he talked, these days we hear a lot about talk of the post-American world, about how Europe needs to do more because of America's departure. Well, the BND was pushing this narrative quite a few years before anyone else was, really. Mr. Fraser wrote that in 2009, the BND commenced gradually leaking a secret report demanding debate in Germany on preparing the nation to handle what the German spy service termed long-lasting global crises. The BND document, Mr. Fraser writes, is predicated on the perceived loss of American power. The German Foreign Intelligence Service is predicting massive shifts in global power structure and is demanding a geostrategic debate in Germany. The collapse of Western economies could accelerate dramatically the rise of China and the descent of the longtime principal ally of the Federal Republic, the United States, a confidential BND study states. This is quoting from German Foreign Policy. It says the secret document is currently being discussed in Berlin and has been incrementally released to the press in order to prepare the public for possible geopolitical upheavals. So they were right at the start of trying to prepare Germany for this post-American world. And then we just talked about how Germany's been caught spying across Europe. It's been caught once again spying on journalists, this time mostly foreign journalists, and spying on other countries. I think it was caught helping the US spy on France, spy on other organizations within Europe. So let's kind of sum up what we've talked about. This is an organization that was founded by ex-Nazis, under the control of ex-Nazis for the first decade and a half of its existence, those kind of crucial formative years of founding the organization, and even in modern times has covered up for those ex-Nazis and has been accused of working with neo-Nazis. It has repeatedly spied on targets or arms smugglings, etc., all while those at the top of the government deny any responsibility and knowledge. It has repeatedly spied on journalists. It has broken German and international law with illegal weapons transfers. This is the organization that Spiegel just revealed has been spying on the United States, on the White House. That an organization with this history, that should be very concerning. It's either an organization founded by Nazis, run almost exclusively by Nazis for its first couple of decades, and ever since has just been a law unto itself, repeatedly breaking German and international law, and the German government has repeatedly failed to bring it under control. Or it's that same organization, but it's doing all of this with the full support and direction of the German government, who simply disown it when it's convenient. There's no way really of knowing which, but that either of these is the case should be hugely concerning. And as I've emphasized, as we've quoted all of these, You know, this isn't, you know, everything we've talked about here. You can point to quotes, articles from mainstream organizations. A lot of these were leaked by Spiegel. A lot of them appeared on, or the things coming from the 90s on illegal weapons transfers to Yugoslavia. Well, that was all brought to light by investigations by German public broadcasters, by ARD. And there are a few different broadcasters that focused on that. So this isn't, and it was debated in the German parliament. So these aren't, this isn't some kind of questionable conspiracy theory. It's not something that just comes from a few kooky websites. It's not something that's being put forward by Russia Today or some kind of Russian-funded propaganda channel. These are things that have been all over the press recently. It doesn't take much to start to kind of put this together and see what the story is here. It doesn't take any secret contacts. It just takes access to some kind of press archive, most of which is just available freely without any subscriptions online. It's something that's easy to prove. And so, like I said, this should be something that's huge news around the world, that you've got this organization with this history now spying on the United States, on the International Monetary Fund, on embassies and organizations throughout America. But as I said, just about nothing from any major news interview. That should be very concerning. And it should be very concerning, just given Germany's history as a whole. I mentioned those interviews that we had with Nicholas Frank, and we had said he was the son of the German civil administrator of Poland, in charge of running Poland. He earned the nickname the Butcher of Poland for all those that he killed. And he, Nicholas Frank, has really just built. He was a journalist working for Stern and covering a lot of what was going on in the Balkans, though less focused on Germany's involvement and more just on the Balkan wars. But you know, he was on the radio. We had him here and we recorded some video interviews. And during one of those interviews, we asked him about some of the scandals that were emerging around the time then about neo-Nazis in the German military. And we'll play what he says about that. And then just also how he really summed up a whole load of what he talked about during our time here. So we'll play just a few minutes from those interviews now.
The last few weeks, the last 2 weeks in particular, we've seen the reports coming out of Germany about the right wing and even the Nazi element within the Bundeswehr, within the German military. When you read that story, what did you think?
I was prepared to read this kind of story.
You've been waiting for it?
Not waiting, because as I told you about the refugee, I know there's something burning inside the soul of the Germans. And now suddenly it popped up, it's our Bundeswehr. Only a part of it, for sure. But it's stronger than we imagined first. They now find more and more soldiers who were involved.
So is this...
This I don't understand, but I understand it on the other hand. Right. I don't understand. They are well-fed, they get a good salary, they could nurse their families, they have quite a career, they can go to Afghanistan or Mali, so they have their foreign countries. They get a big money if they are in a foreign country, so everything could be okay if they would be really Democrats. But they, if you have a weapon... And if you can shoot with it, and you have the brilliant German tanks, as far as they are running, then you are thinking of the old, good Germany. And this is why they are not satisfied, together with the problem with the refugees. It was the initiator, and then...
So is what we've seen the past couple of weeks, this crisis in the German military... Is this evidence that the Nazi spirit is still alive and functioning in Germany?
For sure, that's a part of it. That's a part of it.
We've been interviewing you all day. This is the last...
I thought about 3 days and two nights. This is my feeling.
This is the last minute of the interview. What's your final message? Final few words.
acknowledge that the German people didn't initiate any war the last 70 years. That's a good thing. But the next 70 years will follow. So be careful. Never trust the German. What Mr. Churchill was saying is a brilliant sentence. You have the Germans either to your knees or at your throat. And that's exactly, that's a very good characteristic of the German people. I love this guy.
Some sobering and very relevant words from Nicholas Frank there. And so, you know, that's a powerful, and we, you know, he talked about the Germans in the army, how, you know, they're so well equipped, they've got all of this you know, excellent equipment, excellent structure. I mean, obviously, he also talked in that interview how they're still growing. There are equipment shortages, but the ones that have the equipment, they have, you know, those excellent German tanks, and they start to think, well, we can do something with this. And the German, by all accounts, the German intelligence, the BND, is very good. There have been, I think I saw some quotes putting this together about how some of their sources in or intelligence in Syria and in the Middle East were just superb. And you see exactly the same kind of spirit and response. Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flory, of course, he's talked about this for years. Herbert W. Armstrong before warned for years about trusting in Germany, because this is a warning that comes straight from the Bible. The Bible warns America about putting its trust in allies that are actually, you know, that are fake, putting its trust in lovers that do not have America's best interests at heart. And here's, we'll listen to a few minutes from Key of David, where Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flory talks about this.
Now again, if you want to trust in Germany, well, history doesn't indicate that's what you ought to do, but just the reverse. And Germany, frankly, even has a basis here in America to complicate that problem even more. And have we forgotten that Mussolini and Italy, what they did in World War II and how they were very much against America and Britain and the Jewish nation in the Middle East? And if you look at Germany and Italy combined, they are the heart of what is called the Holy Roman Empire, which has had six heads rise up and cause bloodshed on this earth like it's never experienced and has never been inflicted so badly and so in such a bloody way as has this Holy Roman Empire. Italy was allied with Germany in just World War II. Recently, the last big world war we had, they were allied with Germany against America and Britain. And that, of course, was the sixth head of the Holy Roman Empire, church, state combined. So I have written an article, and we're going to make it available to you, to show you that the Holy Roman Empire has officially begun again. The seventh and last head has been formed. And that's why, see, the seventh one is the last one. And that's why I said this is really good news, because it's all concluded by the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about the Holy Roman Empire that's on the scene right now. It's tied directly to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the U.S. ambassador recently called Germany our most important ally. And yet God talks about your lovers. And I tell you, if you think about that, it is a just horrors upon top of horrors, if you really, really do think about it. Now, does the U.S. ambassador recently calling Germany our most important ally, does that make it so? No, it doesn't. Not according to Bible prophecy. Not at all. Now, here we've had alliances with Britain in World War I and World War II, and they've always been our most important ally. But now this U.S. ambassador said, why, Germany is our most important ally. Our enemy in World War I and World War II, and they tried very hard to destroy America and what it stood for, and Britain. And now they have nuclear bombs that belong to the United States of America. Now, what is going to prevent them from using them against us, let's say, if they wanted to? This is a dangerous game. It's not a game. It's a dangerous decision to in foreign policy to do such a thing. Very dangerous indeed. And I'll tell you, God has a strong view about that when you start cozying up to people whom God calls your lovers. And it's a matter of trust, too, because, well, are you trusting God? Are you trusting a nation to sort of protect you? Well, that's what it's about.
And that was from A Key of David, where he was talking mostly about America's decision to give nuclear bombs to Germany, to Italy, and just the foolishness of that decision. It was called Europe's Dirty Secret. But we see here, in this story, in a lot of ways, how much Germany or America trusts Germany. There's this story, this major story about the BND spying on the White House, this organization with such a disturbing past, and it's not even news to most American news outlets. It's not just that they don't put it on the front page, it's that they don't cover it at all. Just not interested. Because the idea that Germany might not be our best friend is just too... it's not even worth considering. To all of America's major news agency, well, that's just a given. Germany's our best friend. We rely on them. Okay, they may have been caught spying on the White House. We're not even going to talk about that. Not really a big deal. Even when this specific organization that did the spying spent decades being run by war criminals from the Gestapo, from the SS, from people from the Abwehr. A stunning story that just hasn't received much attention at all. We'll take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll see how many other news stories from our website we'll be able to review.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The Holy Roman Empire has made pivotal and defining contributions to Western civilization. But its many reincarnations have also come with painful and catastrophic consequences. European leaders aim to unite the fractured continent of Europe by reviving the legacy of this extraordinary church-state combine. One of the great lessons of this empire is that it always comes back. There is always another resurrection. To understand much more on this vital subject, call now and request our free book, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. The Holy Roman Empire is not just a relic of history. It is about to play a central role in world events. Coming to understand about the nature and character of this powerful institution tells you as much about the future as it does about the past. As part of this free offer, also request Herbert Armstrong's classic work, Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? Both booklets are available at no cost or obligation to you. In addition to the free book, you may also request a free subscription to our monthly news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. The Trumpet examines world events under the clear light of Bible prophecy. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it. because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Stephen Flurry. And I want to start by talking about another story that relates to Germany that is a top headline on the trumpet.com right now. Now, at the moment, Jared Kushner's been getting involved in the Middle East peace process to try and negotiate peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And there were reports over the weekend that Mahmoud Abbas was planning on giving up on these peace talks with Jared Kushner, that they weren't going well. He was ready to walk out of them. Well, there was a report last week that shows that another nation is waiting in the wings if this happens. The article we have up on our website is Germany, the new Middle East peacemaker. With the quip, if things don't work out with Donald Trump, the Palestinians have a plan B. And this was based on just a fascinating story in the Al Monitor that quotes a senior Palestinian minister close to Mahmoud Abbas. They don't name him, but they said that this senior minister said that should Trump disappoint, like others in the international community, we have decided to opt for German Chancellor Angela Merkel in conjunction with French President Emmanuel Macron to take the lead in preventing a deadlock in the peace process. As in Leonard Cohen's famous song, first we take Manhattan, then we take Berlin. So if they can't get things to work out with Donald Trump, well, then they will turn to Berlin and they'll see what they can do with Angela Merkel. And I think what was the other thing that was just really fascinating from this article is it brought out how much Germany has already started doing just in recent months to get more involved in Israel and to get more involved in the Middle East as a whole. Just quoting from this Al Monitor article, it says, the minister said Ramallah is in close contact with German Foreign Minister Sigmar Gabriel regarding Berlin. Berlin's taking more of a lead role on a two-state solution. So they're already talking with Germany about Germany taking a more leading role in the peace process. A senior official in the German Foreign Office told Al Monitor that Merkel is now ready to play a more active and independent role on Middle East policy. More active and independent role. The source said German goals in the region are to be part of a Western Arab coalition against terrorism, to uphold the Iran deal, and to advance the Israeli-Palestinian peace process based on a two-state solution. And that last quote should really stand out to anyone familiar with what we've been saying at the Trumpet over the last, many years, really. But they're looking at their priorities, an Israeli-Palestinian peace process, and to be part of a Western Arab coalition. And for years, we've been talking about how the Bible talks about in Psalm 83, it prophesies of exactly that, a Western Arab coalition, a coalition that's led by Assyria, modern-day Germany. And again, you can look on our website where we've got articles. You can find articles that go through and prove that. But you've got Germany then looking to ally with these whole range of nations within the Middle East. And already you see a very loose alliance between Germany and exactly the same nations that are named in this prophecy. Edom, that's modern-day Turkey. Ishmael, that's modern-day Saudi Arabia. We have articles on this on our website that you can look at in more detail. But you've got Egypt, Turkey, Jordan, where Germany is just start looking to move their military base. Lebanon, where you see a close arrangement with the government. Hezbollah, that's aligned with Iran, has considerable power there. But Germany and Europe has close links to the Lebanese government. And so you can see Germany already working on this Western Arab coalition, exactly as prophesied, and then to advance the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. And again, this is something that the Trumpet and the Plain Truth has long forecasted. In 1996, Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry wrote that Europe is moving not only to be a co-sponsor in the peace process, they want to gain control of it. And you see Germany looking at doing that right now. In 1971, the Plain Truth talked about new calls for Europe to assume a greater role in the Middle East, including a peaceful settlement of the Arab-Israeli confrontation. Now, going back to this Al Monitor article, it wrote that according to the official with direct access to Merkel, the Chancellor is ready to create a regional economic framework in favor of a two-state solution. The idea raised in German policy planning circles is to propose an EU Marshall Plan for Israel and the Palestinian Authority in close cooperation with the Arab League. So the idea is that these two countries move forward on a two-state solution, and in exchange for this, they both get a lot of money from Europe to build up their economies. And so you're looking, just like we've been talking about for years now, Germany seems poised to get more involved in the peace process in the Middle East. And this ties in very closely with exactly what we've talked about, what we were talking about before in the first segment. We were talking then about America trusting Germany despite this German hacking. And you're looking, we could see very soon Israel looking to Germany to solve the peace process. And there are a whole range of different prophecies in the Bible that talks about the modern nations of Israel. That's America, Britain, the Jewish nation called Israel in the Middle East, primarily looking to Germany. And we see America doing that, trusting Germany while Germany spies on them. And we could very soon see Israel looking to Germany as their main hope for peace in the Middle East. And we already see them looking to Germany in a whole load of other ways. So you can read more about that story on Germany, the new Middle East peacemaker. Also on that article, on that front page, on the same card there, you can see a link to Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry's article, The Outcome of the Israeli-German Relationship, where he goes through in much more detail and quotes from all of those different scriptures, showing what is prophesied to happen here. But can Germany be trusted? I'll just mention quickly another news story from over the weekend. This is from the Jerusalem Post, and the headline is German Foreign Ministry, Israel as undemocratic as Russia, China. They write that Germany's foreign ministry spokesman said Israel's NGO, non-governmental organization, Transparency Law is in the same category as legislation passed by non-democratic countries like Russia and China, prompting astonishment on Thursday from Jerusalem over the new wave of criticism from Berlin targeting the Jewish state. The Israeli embassy in Germany told the mass circulation Daily Bild, Israel is a vibrant and free democracy and there are no restrictions on donations. Recently, Israel adopted a demand for transparency as is customary in other democracies. Israel requested explanation from the foreign ministry. Now, there are a number of people within Germany that have been very critical of this foreign ministry statement. This article quotes Thomas Feiss of the Christian Democratic Union, who said that likening Israel to Russia and China is divorced from reality and that the comparison is damaging for the bilateral relationship for Germany and Israel. There's another politician, a foreign policy spokesman for the CDU and CSU in the Bundestag, who said that such a comparison is insensitive. But if you look at, say, the German foreign minister, Sigmar Gabriel, he's previously called Israel an apartheid regime. He hosted an Iranian cleric last month who's called for Israel's destruction. He went to Israel in April, and at the beginning of that visit, he wrote an opinion piece kind of playing down the significance of the Holocaust. He decided that he would rather meet with quite very biased non-governmental organizations that are very anti-Israel and even anti-Jews instead of meeting with Netanyahu. And so obviously there are some in Germany that do look like friends, but then there are some that certainly don't. And some indications really that Israel shouldn't trust Germany. But as it is, it looks like Germany is getting ready now to play a much, much bigger role in the Middle East. I don't have too much time left, but we'll switch over to one more article from our website that I wanted to draw your attention to. As I do, I just take the opportunity to point you to our new improved headline section on the website. On the top right-hand corner on thetrumpet.com, we have links under the subject headlines to some of the best articles elsewhere. And now if you click on those links, instead of you taking you straight to the other site, we have the opportunity to highlight a few of the best quotes from that article and kind of get to the real meat of it. And there's still a link to click through there to the original article. And often it's worth doing that. These are good articles that we found that we've put up there. But now you can get the most significant chunks from those articles very quickly and then decide if you want to go and look at more. And of course, if you click on just the word headlines at the top of that box, you can read the entire archive of headlines. We usually try to put about 3 new headlines up each day. And that can be a really useful tool for following the news. Here's one that I put up this morning that my dad sent to me, but it's from the Telegraph. It says UK schools could face closure because UK school could face closure because it does not teach about LGBT issues. And this story is about a private school, not government funded, but a private Jewish girls' school, and it has failed 3 school inspections because it doesn't teach pupils about homosexuality or gender reassignment. It's called Vishnit School, Girls' School, and it's an Orthodox school in Hackney. And this inspection body failed them and said that because it doesn't teach anything about homosexuality, it does not give them a, quote, a full understanding of fundamental British values. That's what fundamental British values is nowadays. And this organization faces closure because it's not teaching about this. So, you know, this is a school that faces being closed down that got from the government, not because they're teaching that it's wrong to be homosexual or transgender, not that they're saying, oh, it goes against the law of the Bible to be homosexual or transgender. They're facing being closed down because they're telling their pupils that it is, because they're just not telling their pupils anything about this. They're just not teaching it. But that's not enough. Now in these schools, you have to encourage it or the government will come in, inspect you, and shut you down. Now, last week, Tyrell Schloter had just a great piece on the Trumpet website exposing how shockingly far this has gone in Canada. It really is a stunning story. It's in the editor's pick section on our front page called Transgenderism Cemented into Canadian Law. And we're talking about stories that aren't getting the attention they need in the media. I think this is certainly one of them. And in that article, he talks about Bill 89 that was passed by the Ontario provincial government. And under this new bill, when social workers are looking at are the best interests of children being taken care of, they need to take into account gender identity and gender expression. And the other change is they do not need to take into account the parents' religious belief. And so they're saying that actually, if a child wants to change their gender identity and their parents aren't letting them, then the parents are being abusive. And actually, it's saying that that the government can take the child away from their parents. So if you've got parents that believe homosexuality is wrong, or believe that their child should not change their gender because they're a boy and they think that they're a girl, well, the government, at least in Ontario, can now take your child away. Which, that's just stunning. That it's gone so far now that it can reach into families. And that if you don't teach your child, they're saying that, okay, well, it's okay to be homosexual. Or yes, if you know, you're a little boy, but if you prefer to be a little girl, well, that's fine and we'll help you change. If you don't do that, the government might come in and take your child and help the child go through that process of changing their gender instead. The government says that if you don't allow your child to do that, well, that's a form of abuse. When really, there's a huge amount of evidence showing that allowing little children to make this decision makes them far more miserable, is a horrible mistake. And yet, so you've got the Canadian or the government of Ontario now to the point where they could be carrying out what really is child abuse, all in the name of defending parents from abuse. And it's just a shocking, overriding of traditional morality and just the parents' responsibility in the home. He also brings attention to one I've seen a bit more about, which is on a national level, and that is a law that now only requires royal assent, that was approved on June 15th, that adds the phrases gender identity and gender expression to the Canadian Human Rights Act. Basically the upshot of this law is that if you use the wrong pronoun about a transgendered person, if you call them a he when they want to be a she or a z or something, you could go to jail. And it's a law that really just cracks down on any kind of speech and on what you can say. So a couple of stunning news stories from Canada there, and that you can see more, you can read more about that on that article, Transgenderism Cemented into Canadian Law. And you know, you have so many of these shocking events that you just don't see anywhere, or just not prominently in any of the global media, really. So that's why you need thetrumpet.com. That's why you need this radio show, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Brent Nachtigall will be the host tomorrow. So be sure to tune in tomorrow, see what he has to say. You can email the show at kpcg.fm and listen to us on 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma.